Chapter 83. It was cool out for September, the wind whipping in off the Atlantic right into the heart of paradise. Quite a change from the Dallas heat. Though it was too dark to see the color of the leaves, Jesse knew they had already turned more yellow and red than they had been only in the 100 hours since he and Diana had gotten in the car to Logan. The limbs of the trees seemed to have sagged some, turned down like lips kissed by a lover for the last time. There were signs of surrender in them, an acknowledgement that there was yet another fall and winter to come that they were helpless to stop. Jesse turned up the collar of his jacket against the wind, collecting himself as he prepared to climb the fence at the edge of the small woods that bordered the Cranes' property. He was convinced now, more than ever, he needed to move back into town. That it had taken a dangerous amount of time, too much time, to collect what he needed at his house and to sneak back into town. He had looked at the for sale sign in front of his house and wondered if there had been any more bites. If not, he'd lower the price. Like always, he'd do what he had to do. Suddenly, a whole list of have-to-dos rushed into his head. He had to replace his old trusty, now bullet-ridden Explorer. With what, he wondered. But it was the house sale that came back to him. Diana would want to be at the center of things. Paradise wasn't exactly Boston, not even close. But he knew she needed some sense of action to keep happy. And whatever action there was in Paradise wasn't out where his house was now. He had been alone long enough. In a bizarre way, he guessed he owed a debt of his own to Peepers for the circumstances that had pushed him over the edge to commit to marriage. But he couldn't smile about it. Too much blood had been spilled and too many lives lost in the name of a stupid vendetta. Then he remembered his last at bat in that softball game back in August that had seemed to start all of this. Remembered the news about Geno Fish. Remembered hearing about the murders in Salem. The dogs in particular. And that reminded him of who he was dealing with and why it had to come to an end sooner rather than later. And that snapped him out of his own head and right into the moment. He knew exactly why he was there at the edge of Molly's property in the dark. He stopped thinking of what had been and what might be. He boosted himself up and over the fence. During the flight, he and Diana had agreed to split up so that they could cover Peeper's most likely targets. Jesse made sure to put Diana on Peeper's least likely target, Healy. Healy hadn't been directly involved with the original incident, the one in which Suit was nearly killed and had wounded Peeper's in the exchange of gunfire. But if Peeper's was paying attention, Jesse and Diana had no doubt that he had been. Then he would know how close Jesse and Healy were, and now just how vulnerable Healy was because of retirement and his wife's bad heart. Diana wasn't oblivious to Jesse's impulse to protect her. She didn't like it, but it was hard for her to argue with Jesse's rationale for his looking after Molly in Suit. "I know Paradise," he said. "I know how to approach their houses unseen from places not even Peepers would be aware of. You don't know Paradise at all, not really. Besides, Suit and Molly are my cops, my responsibility. If you're with Healy, then you'll both have each other's backs, and we won't be presenting Peepers with even more incentive. You and Molly, or you and Suit together, would provide too good a target for Peepers. Remember, in some ways it's about making me suffer. And with you and Healy together, I won't be distracted worrying about the both of you." Over the fence, Jesse lay flat on his belly, watching, listening for anything out of the ordinary. If Peepers was already inside, there would be obvious signs. He would gather everyone in the house into one room or the basement. That was if he hadn't already hurt Molly's girls and her husband. Jesse's guts churned at the thought of that, of Peepers torturing Molly's girls in front of their parents. But Jesse pushed those thoughts down, way down. He'd never be able to do what he'd have to do if he let his head go there. He would be lost if he let his imagination control him, or if he now started questioning all the decisions he'd made over the last 24 hours or over the last 6 weeks. No, he had to focus on the present, on what was happening in real time. He'd already been to Suit's house and done a quick check. Nothing was happening there. Suit's family had all relocated, and Suit was on patrol until 8 in the morning. The way Jesse figured it, Suit was probably safe, at least until the end of his shift. By then, he would have Suit covered, and when the time came, he'd go back over to his house. He might also call Suit, maybe give him a heads up, or have him come by Molly's house. He'd worry about that when the time came. Molly was moving around the kitchen. Two lights were on in upstairs bedrooms. Shadows moving, TVs on. That was all to the good. No way this much activity would be going on in the house if Peepers were present. Still, Jesse had to be careful not to assume Peepers wasn't close by, doing exactly what Jesse was doing. Watching, waiting, looking for a weakness, an opening. He meant to stay here, to watch the house all night if need be, but he was determined that there had already been enough blood. It had to stop here. Now.